Welcome and breathe in air. Abstract Illusions Radio, the show that explores and exposes the many aspects of expression, with your host, Jennifer Hellman.
Good evening, everyone, and thank you so much for listening tonight. I'm Jennifer Hellman, your host, intuitive life coach and writer. Tonight I'm taking a little bit of a sidestep. Tonight's guest is a young man, Robert Grace, who has blessed me in many ways. I have a deep appreciation for his journey as he's found himself and his purpose through the expression of dance. I know he is now certified with high honors to teach American Smooth and Rhythm by Dance Vision, which is the organization that really has kind of standardized how to teach dance. I first saw him across the room at the Arizona Ballroom Dance Studio. I was immediately impressed by his focus, intention, and his talent. I knew he was an indigo as soon as I spoke to him. His high energy spoke volumes. I was intrigued by him. So I wanted to share his passion for dance and the things that, as an indigo, has helped him focus into the high-demanding field of expression through dance. I want to thank you, Robert, so much for being on air. How are you doing today?
I'm doing good. I'm doing very well.
Thank you. Now, because of his schedule, this is only going to be a 30-minute interview, and I do appreciate there will not be any calls for this. But, Robert, I just wanted to ask you, how young were you when you felt you were a little different? Or did you ever feel different and realize that you're an indigo?
Well, pretty much all of my life. I mean, ever since I was a little kid, I've never really felt like I fit in anywhere or that I was, I mean, I could if I tried, but I never really felt like I did, like I was like the people around me. Always just kind of felt like, not so much that I didn't belong, but that I was just really different.
Mm-hmm. In how did you experience life? For example, for me, I always saw angels. I was more attracted to being alone than within groups. So did you feel, you know, see colors or feel energy differently? What was your experience to make you feel different?
Well, just that I could really see, you know, I could really see through people, and I wasn't afraid to, like, to say sometimes what I saw.
That didn't always go over well, did it?
No, not always.
Yeah, I'm the same way, and I still am today. Lessons to learn. So, as a kid, did you learn very quickly to kind of suppress what you thought or saw, or did you just say, I didn't care, or what age did you realize that if you're going to fit in society, you needed to alter your perspective or how you were acting in society?
Well, actually, I learned to be a little bit more diplomatic after I stopped going to school and dealing with conventional society. I was on the streets, and I was a street kid for several years, and I just learned, you know, through what I had been taught as a child, just sort of where you had to respect people because there was violence, there was drugs, there was people, you know, that were crazier than me, that, you know, you have to be careful what you say and who you say it to. And, you know, when you can read people and when you can see people, you learn who to trust and who you can talk to and what you can say to certain people. And it just teaches you a lot about how, you know, at every level of society, people are all basically the same.
Yes, most definitely. So through your experiences of being on the street, did you understand that there was a need for you to have some self-expression or an expression of who and what you were? Did that play a part for you getting involved with dance? Or what was your guidance towards dance?
Well, really, it just happened as looking for a change of lifestyle. I mean, I was a little bit interested in street dancing when I was on the street, but I never really got too into it. When I first started dancing, it was just a total change of perspective, you know, and getting into it, I initially had thought that, you know, the people and the things, the place I was going to be, it would be different high society people that acted different. But again, you know, everywhere you go, no matter where you're at, people really are basically the same.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I just wanted to try and be someone different in a place where I could make a difference is what I ultimately saw. You know, just getting very involved with it because I saw that it was an opportunity for me, that I could really do something with this.
And you've done something. I have learned so much. Robert is one of my teachers. He really has helped me with technique and structure, and really, I really appreciate everything that you're teaching me, even though it might seem like I'm a little resistant at times. I really am absorbing it, and I really do want to say just publicly, you're an awesome teacher.
Well, thank you. I really appreciate that. I mean, I try to be the best student I can when I work with the people who teach me, and I work really hard so that I have a thorough understanding of what it is I'm trying to teach, and the more I teach, even when I teach basics or more fundamental things, I can always learn something new about that. I never come to the situation like, oh, I get to teach, you know, bronze steps again. I'm always looking to understand something better so that I can help someone see it from a different point of view, to kind of help them maybe appreciate experiencing what they're doing with a different idea rather than approaching it, you know, insanity is doing the same thing over and over again and expecting different results. So I try to help people understand that maybe if they tried to do this from a different place, it would work a little bit better for them.
So do you think it's good to have different teachers when you're doing dance? Just to
get
a different perspective?
That's definitely why, you know, a lot of studios will often force students to take lessons with another instructor. You know, and sometimes you like that person, sometimes you don't, but you should always appreciate a different point of view. That's why, you know, we all pay, you know, sometimes tremendous amounts of money for coaching with, you know, champion dancers who have been at the top of what the sport has to offer.
Right.
And they come back with their point of view. And again, you know, everybody has their own opinion, and you really have to learn to take anything anyone says with a grain of salt, no matter what it is they're talking about, whether it's dance or, you know, life in general, anything people are talking about. You want to kind of filter through your experience of what you're doing, but it's always good to listen to something from a fresh point of view.
Right, definitely. So how did dance change your perspective on your goals overall? I mean, did you just say, I'm going to be a dancer, this is, you know, my top goal is to be a champion professional dancer, teacher?
No, it definitely didn't really start like that. I just honestly was trying to do something different, and I've always been someone who works really hard at anything I do. I'd like to think I have a good work ethic, that I try to focus when I decide to do something, I try to do it right. And I realized, you know, after learning to dance and teaching dance for, you know, maybe 4 months, that I knew all of the patterns through full bronze, and I had them memorized and I could demonstrate them, but I didn't really know how to dance. You know, and so I started focusing on the technical side of things and trying to understand, you know, what does dance mean? And, you know, one day I just had, you know, an epiphany, and I thought, there's no separation of movement. You know, I could be walking down the street and that's dancing.
Mm-hmm.
I can change things over from dance to dance. I can do anything in any dance, any pattern, across any style, and make it whatever I need it to be by using the proper characteristic and the proper technique. So if I own my technique and I own the expression of each individual dance, whether it's a tango or a rumba or a foxtrot, you know, if I know what it means to do those dances, I can filter that through my understanding of pattern knowledge and really produce anything I can create in my mind. I can make my body produce in any dance.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's when I decided, you know, I really think I have a different point of view, and I think I appreciate movement and understanding movement in a way that, you know, very few people do. And I realize that, you know, this is the artistry that I need to be doing, and I can do so much with it. There's no limits to what you can do with dancing.
Mm-hmm. Now, do you feel that as an indigo, that you really need to express artistically? I mean, you're also a poet. you've done dance, you do art. Do you feel that indigos overall need that kind of expression because of the vibration that they brought into this planet?
Oh, well, they definitely. It's almost like you're forced to. I mean, you could choose not to, but you would be miserable. And because of the energy that we bring, we strongly affect the environment around us, whether people want us to or not. And a lot of times, you know, people hate us for it, but most of the people really enjoy having us around because we're intense.
Mm-hmm.
And whatever we choose to be about, we're very, you know, intense about it and forward about it, and we talk about it and we do it. You know, and if we're in a place where we're feeling negative or we're being negative or we're just having an overall bad approach, it affects everyone around us.
Mm-hmm.
So we as indigos, we have to be very careful how we present ourselves in any situation because, you know, your attitude as an individual does have power and does change not just the people around you but the people they meet, and it spirals out. You know, every good thought counts.
Yes, it definitely does, and being grateful for everything that does come to your life, good or bad, also helps raise your vibration and bring even better things into your life. So what are some of the things as an indigo that have been like wisdoms to live by that has helped you kind of get that focus into your life and understand what you're about and what your message is and your purpose is in life?
Well, first was, you know, even before I started dancing, but after I started dancing especially, just to really learn to take responsibility for, you know, what I experience. You know, and I've, you know, pretty much all my life been that kind of person who was never like, oh, well, it's your fault. Well, it's your fault. I've always been very, you know, pointing things inward, like, okay, well, if something's going wrong, what do I need to do to fix it?
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, also there are some things that are coming from the outside, and a lot of times, you know, what I learned early on in dancing was how I projected what I thought I was how people saw me.
Mm-hmm.
And for a long time, I was like, I'm not very good at this. I suck. I can't do this. There's none, you know, none of this makes any sense. And so for a long time, none of it did really make any sense until, you know, instead of getting frustrated, I decided to say, okay, well, maybe I can understand this. If I work at it and I'm, you know, and I really want to understand it, maybe it's not as much as what I'm making it, you know, and I started to simplify and just go to, you know, I started by teaching myself the book. You know, after working in a studio where everybody tells you something different, I said, well, I'm going to go to what's in black and white, and then whatever anybody says, I don't care, this is what I know, and I'll work from this. So I got very patterned into what I was doing because that was the only way I could gain a base of knowing that I had some kind of structure to what I was learning because everybody was telling me different things.
Right. Now, that is the syllabus, that is the standard for dance. Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah, and it's, you know, I hardly ever teach syllabus now, but I still do. But I used to only, you know, I would totally be by the syllabus. You know, that was the dance Bible.
Yes.
And you had, I just knew it. And that way, if anybody had anything to say, I was like, well, just go check the book. I know what I'm talking about.
Right. And it,
so,
you definitely know very thoroughly everything about dance. I mean, I believe that everybody has something else to learn, and you've said that earlier in this interview. But, I mean, you're very thorough, and you really take the time to make sure the student understands what you're talking about, and I appreciate that.
Well, thank you. I've worked really hard at being the kind of teacher that I enjoy working with, you know, and I try to make sure that people understand that this is fun, that this should be fun, that this is for fun. But that there's also an element of it that is work, you know, if you want to do it well. And I enjoy when I'm doing something well, and I enjoy whatever it is that I'm doing, because whatever you're doing, you should enjoy doing it. That's why I teach dance, because I couldn't work at anything else after this. I mean, what else would I want to do with my time?
Right.
So what I concentrate on is making what I'm experiencing as I teach something that I enjoy doing,
mm-hmm.
so that the person who's working with me will feel the same and be compelled to work maybe even harder than they would with somebody who is just teaching them patterns or technique or whatever they're teaching, that they're teaching it because this is what they, you know, I feel whatever I teach is something this person really needs to understand.
Right.
You know, and it really depends because everybody dances for a different reason.
Mm-hmm.
You know, most people don't dance because they just want to dance. There's a lot of underlying things that people are looking to express and get out or get away from or just be somewhere different and be someone different. You know, people are all very individual just as much as they're all the same. Everybody has their own ideas. You know, it's like, what do you see when you imagine yourself dancing? You know, and do you feel like you'll ever be able to do that? Is that a realistic goal for you? You know, what are you looking to do with this? Why do you dance? You know, because that's how you get someone to dance for the rest of their life. Otherwise, they have no idea why they're doing it. And then eventually they're like, well, why am I spending all this money and why am I spending all this time if I don't know what I'm doing here, even if they enjoy it?
Right.
You know, there's a need to know why people dance. You know, and science has been going after it. There was some Discovery Channel thing where they hooked up sensors to this Argentine tango lady's brain, and she did out her steps. And she just did the steps, and they showed where it did the brain. And then they put on the music, and she did the steps, and it totally is completely different experience.
Wow.
It's amazing. Dance is a way to just really experience what the body, mind, and the spirit can express all at the same time.
It is amazing, and I'm one of those people that I don't want to dance. I need to dance.
Exactly.
It's a part of my soul. It's a part of me. And I just wanted to get some formal training in what it was. So I am doing it correctly. So very much guided to Arizona Ballroom. I'm very happy to be there. Now, when you're teaching, as an indigo, you're most naturally an empath. How do you handle, you have to connect with somebody without really taking on too much of their energy yet, keeping that flow so you can move as one unit, because that is a big part of dance, is that connection and looking like you're one.
Well, you know, I really learned how to do this through West Coast Swing, and that you have to be able to become whatever you need to be to make this person comfortable moving with you in a very close space. And you shift your energy through your body to try and attempt to create in yourself, especially as a leader, but even more as a follower as well, the most correct and comfortable energy that you can, that it holds the right shape, but it also, it's not like they're forced, like they're locked in place, but that it's a guiding focus
mm-hmm.
that allows for each step rather than makes each step go. And there's a difference between watching someone force someone around the floor and watching someone guide someone around the floor.
Right.
You know, it's a different experience from the inside out and from the outside in when somebody watches it. You know, I believe very firmly in lead, follow, response, which is whatever I create, I also follow. That I never initiate momentum or movement without considering what I have to do on my end to compensate for how my follower reacts. Because you can never anticipate an exact reaction regardless of what the desired result is. You can try and try and try to force a specific place that you want your follower to be and never have it happen, no matter how good of a leader or teacher or dancer you are. What you have to understand is that if you want to dance with somebody else,
mm-hmm.
you have to be more concerned with them than you are with yourself. And that is a hard place for people to be because we're selfish. We are looking after what we need to do to make our dancing work, and it's the same principle in life. We're looking at what we need to do to make our lives work rather than looking at the partnership. Who do we connect with? Who can we help around us and
mm-hmm.
also help ourselves through that? You know, when we're working within a partnership on the dance floor, what does it mean to be in a partnership? It's an equal exchange of energy and momentum.
Mm-hmm.
And when I ask someone to take a step, I tell them exactly what I need so that I can move. Now, whether they understand well enough what I'm asking for to give it to me or even how to do it is, you know, partially on them and partially on me as a teacher if they're one of my students.
Right.
So, you know, I really try to tune in to each individual as well as through my, you know, collective knowledge of what dance is supposed to be. And I try to shape what I teach towards each student. And especially when I get new students, I try to help them understand you will not even know what you gain till you've been doing this for about a year.
Mm-hmm.
And even then, you know, you really, when you can look back at what you did your first week dancing and then look back at the first week in your second year of dancing when you've been dancing for a full year, you won't recognize it. Not just the way you move on the dance floor, but your life will change.
Mm-hmm.
It will alter the way you see and feel your own life. And in a good way, for most people, you know, it really helps.
Mm-hmm. It definitely does. It kind of moves all the cobwebs out of the way and really gives people more clarity. At least for me, I've gotten a lot of clarity about myself through dance, and I think that's one reason why I was guided to take formal lessons, because I needed that mirror or that reflection of the partnership to really truly understand the beauty and essence of dance and what it really is as an expression. So I have a deep appreciation of your dedication to this field. Now, as an indigo, and does the competition part thrill you? Do you just go with it? Is it just part of the game? I mean, how do you feel about competing with other people? Because a lot of indigos, we're all here to
I like the last one, because it really is. It's just part of the game. Dance is an illusion. We are magicians, and we create some of the most experienceable magic that the world has ever seen, and some of the most appreciated. What we have to do, you know, what I consider to be the highest test is to go against the other people at the highest rank possible that believe themselves to be the most creative, the most toned, the most skilled, the most amazing, and show them how much better they can be. But not just as dancers, but also just communicating in a better way to each other as people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because people in those positions have a greater responsibility to bring back to the dancers around them what they've achieved and what they've gained. Because that's why you should strive to be better, is so that you can help others around you be better with you.
Right.
You know, and that's one of the things that I appreciate about some of the individual communities like West Coast Swing and Argentine Tango and Salsa, is that they all teach each other for free half the time. Not necessarily all the right things, but they all want to help each other be better.
Right.
And that's why when you go to specialty dances, most of the time you find people who can dance better than when you go to a ballroom dance. Because a lot of it is very political, and there's too much being withheld because it's about money.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe you can teach a student without holding anything back, just based on the way they develop and being a good, honest instructor, and know for sure that you're always going to be employed as a dance teacher and not have to charge ridiculous amounts of money.
Right.
You know, it's understanding how to use a product correctly, especially since it's an intangible product, you know, mm-hmm. like martial arts or Pilates, things that people pay, you know, significant amounts of money for individual one-on-one instruction. So there is a very developed value to dance.
Mm-hmm.
And one could say that you might even feel like it's worth more once you've been doing it longer, but generally the prices don't change after that. They just try to lock you in at a place where from the beginning, it can be very confusing, and it scares a lot of people when they first try to dance, and a lot of people never dance because of it.
Right.
You know, and they never really experience partner dancing, because you really can't learn to dance without private lessons.
No, I highly recommend them.
I've seen people who just dance at group classes, and it's not that they never get better, and it's not that they're not having fun, but there are things that you may never learn without having somebody else really, from a professional standpoint, look at what you're doing and help you understand it better. Because dance is totally an experience, and the wonderful thing about doing different dances and being able to do different dances is that each of them has its own. And when you when you dance with another person, it's creating an experience between two people that is just as individual as they are and also as enjoyable and maybe more enjoyable than the music that you're dancing to.
Yes. Yes, and dancing with Robert is always is a joy, and you never know what you're going to do. It's just spontaneous expression at the open dances, and when you are dancing with them in lessons, you have the structure, you have an understanding, you have the connection, and I always have fun, and I always do learn something very important with everything. And it's not just about the dance, it's about myself, and that's what I appreciate the most about your teaching.
Excuse me?
I learned something about myself by learning through you.
Oh, well.
In the dance, as well as about the dance.
That's good. I mean, some of the greatest things I've learned in dance is just from watching.
Mm-hmm.
It's from watching other people dance with each other. And, I mean, even more so when I watch, like, a dance floor full of champion-level dancers. But, you know, you can watch a social dance and learn things. You know,
oh,
because
exactly.
You're watching people, and it's one of the few places where you can sit there and watch people, and you can just watch what they do. You know, and it's very, you know, whether they want it to be or not, it's very honest and telling about who they are.
It really is. There's a vulnerability, in my view, that gets exposed through dance because you are open and becoming one with that person when you're doing partner dance.
Mm-hmm.
And it is very honest, as you say. So, with just a couple minutes left, is there anything that you haven't said already, that you really want people to understand about you, about dance, about the energies that you're coming and bringing, that you really would like to just talk about or say?
Well, one thing I can say that I've experienced is that if you don't dance, you don't understand. So if anybody's listening to this and they're trying and they're feeling like maybe they do understand some of it, but some of it doesn't make sense, just go and try it. And I'm not even saying go to the next ballroom. You can do anything. Do hip-hop, do jazz, do ballet, do, you know, some kind of African or folk dancing. Just try it and see, you know, really honestly work at it and see if it doesn't change the quality of your experience in life. You know, if I would, you know, if dance were something other than the way I'm investing in it, something that you could invest in, that's what I would be investing money in, because dancing, you know, it never goes away. It's been around for many, many hundreds of years,
mm-hmm.
you know, thousands of years even, but ballroom dancing for, you know, a couple hundred years now is something that, you know, it's not going anywhere. And it's
right.
Something that it's going to be around to do good. So I would suggest for anyone who isn't dancing that they should be.
Yes, most definitely. And with that, I want to thank you, Robert Grace from Arizona Ballroom Company, for being on the show. He is an awesome teacher. There's quite a few awesome teachers down there, but I do want to appreciate Robert for being on and taking the time to talk to us about dance and sharing his passion with us. I truly thank you very much.
Thank you for having me, Jennifer. You have a good day.
You too. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Hello again, everybody. This is Jennifer Hillman, and now I am live. So if you have any questions, I'm taking psychic readings for the next half an hour. And the phone number for that, if you give me half a second, because I'm not as paired as I should be. It's been one of those days. Basically, I am going to be talking about a lot of things that are shifting and opening up. Pretty soon it's going to be 11-11, which is a huge day for turning the tides. I recently got a message from Kuthumi that was channeled by Michelle Eloff, who has been on this show. She's a wonderful channel down in South Africa. And she mentions in here that between the 11th and 13th, there is going to be a lot of us that are going to feel very discontent, very disconnected, feeling that everything is just like off. And this is going to happen during these 3 days because it is the process of activating us to get rid of everything that really isn't needed, isn't working. Our old self is going to be kind of flushed out of us. But during this time, it is going to be a time where we have a lot of fears coming up, a lot of anxiety, a lot of not understanding what's going on. So I wanted to say today, tonight, just to give you a little bit of a heads up of what's going on next week. So on next Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, just so you understand that you're not losing it, you're also just, they suggest you be as still as possible and just the energy flow through you because it will help you with your own strength, your own wisdom, everything that is really positive away from the old paradigm that we all have been living in, that's being shaken off. So your true self literally is being kind of pushed forward. So you got to get rid of something to make room for something else. So be very kind to yourself during these times. Drink lots of water. Rest. Go outside is always a good way of grounding yourself. Understand that it's just a temporary situation. It really is focusing on the inner qualities that some of them are right there and some of them are really hiding, but it's allowing it to unfold. The stiller you are, the more calmer you are, it really is going to be kind of a little bit of a shake-up. Some of us might feel like the darkness is really coming right at us because our greatest fears that we haven't quite dealt with are going to be right in your face, right up at the surface. And again, that is to get to face them and understand that fears are only an illusion. They're not real. And you can really understand that your fears aren't real by having them in your face and looking at them and saying, this isn't really there. So you can let it go. And you're going to have it just wave after wave after wave. So if you have a lot of, if you have a lot of things that you want to deal with, all you have to do is really bring the, just say, okay, I know I've got a fear of this, so why don't you let it all come out? Your DNA is also being integrated with the new energy on November 13th. So then it's going to take a few weeks to really get everything in place, but you really will have a new life unfolding. If you get something out of the way, if you get a fear, something's going to replace it that's so much better. It's just unfolding. Things that are not important to your life, the process, the thoughts, the attitudes, the beliefs that are somehow related to a fear are going to be taken away, and it really is a very magical time ending up to December 12th. There's even more coming on. One thing I did want to mention really quick about this message that she got was some exercises to really help with the process. And I have to tell you, I've been doing this exercise myself, and it's pretty awesome the way it works. And basically what they're suggesting is that you write down all your regrets, all of them. Takes a while. Mine was like 3 or 4 pages long. Then you're going to set those aside, and then you're going to realize and understand all the lessons you learned from those regrets, all the mistakes or lessons. And with that, you're going to write yourself a letter as you connect with it. The God spark within you, and let that letter just reflect who you truly are now, once you get rid of all those fears. So it really is a beautiful process. I really hope that you take time to do it this weekend before the 11th, because you got to realize some of those fears are the regrets. So once you write them down, you're acknowledging them. It's going to make it easier for the process to unfold. And we're going to get you those phone numbers so you guys can get up here and give me a call, so, because I am very open to doing readings tonight. And those numbers are 877-876-5227 if you're Canada and the U.S. also. It's also 888-815-9756 if you want to call in, if you have any questions, if there's anything else you want to understand, if you want to know, please give me a call. This is a time of a lot of change. November, generally, now we got Scorpio, and that is the death and rebirth sign. So there's a lot of things that are going on astrologically because we do have the Uranus-Saturn opposition, which is basically people trying to get away with things, and a lot of people are. And you're scratching your you kind of scratch your head saying, okay, why did this happen and why did it get away? Me, myself, just got a similar situation that somebody basically admitted they were wrong, yet because of situations associated with it, I was really unable to do anything about it. So it's just a lesson. It was a lesson for me to change the way the process unfolded before it started, and understanding that it's okay if this kind of thing happens. What goes around comes around. You have to understand that. So it may seem like they got away with something. Trust me, I've had so many experiences with a lot of different things that karma will come back around. You don't have to worry about it. Just let it go and move on. Don't let that be a building up of a regret, like, oh, I should have done this. And it in the past. The past doesn't exist anymore. And that's something else that you really need to understand and realize, that we are now living in a time that the past truly is the past. And many of us have issues and problems and fears that are based in the past. And it's time to really let go of them, because they're just baggage. They're just really holding us back to the magnificent, miraculous possibility that are now unfolding in front of us. So again, if you have a call, you want to have a reading, a comment, if you just want to talk to me, the number is 877-876-5227 in the U.S., or you can call 888-815-9756. The direct line, if those are busy or you're unable to use those, is 530-876-3222. And Death is standing by. If you want to call, he will put you on through. There is also something else that's happening on the 15th of November that I have been organizing, and I've mentioned it a couple weeks ago. And I just wanted to mention it yet again, and it is the Planetary Love Alliance for Heaven on Earth is having another planetary healing event here in Arizona on the 15th. But we would like to ask that everybody spends a little time on that day sending Mother Earth a lot of gratitude and a lot of love for everything that we're getting from Mother Earth. And we're all beginning to understand the importance of Mother Earth now with all the shifts in the environment, and understanding that we are all one and we all are affecting Mother Earth. And without Mother Earth, well, we're not going to be here. So I understand a lot of people are going to be coming to Arizona. If you would like more information on this, I do have this announcement on Facebook. So if you go to Jennifer Hillman Facebook, it's on there. And please, I really, if you have any information or any questions, I can give you more information at, and you can just email me at jen@jenniferhillman.com. I also want to mention that I do have my website of angelsintuition.com. There's a lot of wonderful articles and a lot of wonderful just basic information about astrology and a lot about the shamanic arts that have been a big part of my teachings and my lessons. especially with the animal energies. Even today I had a visit from a Cooper Hawk right in front of my window. He's almost becoming a pretty much regular visitor. And the energy of that is mental agility, being able to move from one thing to another with very fast speed, a lot of accuracy, seeing exactly what the target is and being able to hit it. So I know he's telling me I need to switch gears here and there, and I definitely am. So if you have another question, comment, please call in at 877-876-5227. The lines are open as far as I know, and there is a lot of shifting energy right now. A lot of people trying to understand about what's going on, especially with the election now over. We all know that we have a new president and a Democrat who is full of possibilities of a lot of change in the U.S., and we all know because of Pluto being in Capricorn, that basically the government is going to be restructured in one way or another, and it's all for the good. And you have to understand that even though we all have different opinions on how things are going to be, the only thing we can make sure of, especially with the Saturn Uranus, is change. There's going to be a new stability added to the country. Exactly what kind of stability, who knows, and it is going to take a little bit to get there. So we definitely will have a little bit of chaos continuing. And we do have a caller. Hi, caller, how are you?
I'm fine. How are you?
Just fine. And your name, please?
I'm Sandria.
Hi, Sandria. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. I'm a little tired, but I'm doing great.
Well,
I just wanted to tell you that I've really enjoyed your show. I enjoyed the part about the dance. It was very insightful. Makes me want to go out and do it. And I would like to get a reading if you have time.
Oh, I definitely have time. What would you like? What's your question?
Well, I have so many questions, but I know I need to limit it to one. So I guess I want to find out about any travels that I may have coming up.
Let's see, travels. Well, you're definitely eager to travel. That's something I'm really getting. And I do. I do see you traveling. I see you traveling west. Do you have relatives or family that are like a few states away from you?
Yes, I do. I have family in a couple of different states, actually.
Okay, because I almost see you going straight across and seeing relatives soon. And I do see a road trip.
Okay.
And I see you actually on the road for at least a month.
At least a month, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Hmm. Okay. All right. Well, that's exciting.
And if you're worrying about finances, it's all taken care of. Because I do feel that in some way, somehow, you will be earning money on this trip.
Hmm. Okay.
So the trip will be paying for itself. It's almost like you're delivering something and you're going to be paid to deliver something.
Wow.
And it's nothing illegal.
Oh, well, that's good.
I'm not getting anything illegal with this.
Okay.
Do you have another question? Because as far as I know, there's nobody waiting, so.
Well, I guess my usual. When do you see somebody coming for me? Into my life? A love interest?
Well, I do see one. I'm just looking for the time frame because you asked about time frame. And they keep saying that in some ways you keep delaying it. And when you feel settled within yourself, then the love interest will be there. But right now I get you kind of unsettled, trying to get yourself together. And you just need to open up, and that person will be there at any time. You don't have to be perfect and have everything perfect around you, because it's never going to happen. It's very rare that it's going to be completely the way you want it. before this person comes in.
Okay.
So just to open your heart a little bit and take down the obstacles you're throwing behind you, so it makes it tougher for him to get in there.
Okay.
And I do get this man is a retired businessman who loves to travel. He does some kind of consulting work, so he still has some income coming in, but it's on his own time frame. And I see him very devoted. I'm getting that he was married before, and that his former spouse either died suddenly. I don't see him necessarily having his own children, because I think once his wife died, he buried himself in work.
Okay.
And he's very open and very much needs and wants the relationship now. He's gotten over the pain and the sorrow and the grieving.
Do you see him, adapting to family?
Oh, he has no problem with family.
Okay.
I just don't see him having kids himself.
Okay. I've recently had some things done, and I was just kind of curious if you see any completion for that.
Is this medically, physically?
Yes, medically.
I see it taking a little bit, and they keep saying two, so it might be 2 months before it's complete. 2 months or 2 years, and I hope it's not 2 years.
Oh, me too. Me too. Okay, well, I appreciate you answering my questions.
You're most welcome. One other thing about the working part, I get you finding something online, you know, like a classified ad or something, and you might be hesitant to look at it, but look again.
Okay.
It's almost like taking furniture or, you know, a few boxes to somebody. They don't have a whole load, but it would be outrageous for them to do it. It's too much for them just to mail it. They want it delivered just to save money, and you're heading in the right direction. So they basically are paying you for hauling their luggage, their boxes. I'm not seeing a lot of furniture, but I am seeing like a chair or a table.
Okay.
So
that's very interesting, because that falls right into what I've have been thinking about doing. Yeah, that's really cool. Okay.
Okay.
Well, I appreciate it. Thank you very much, and I enjoy your show.
Oh, well, thank you very much for listening.
Okay. Keep up the good work.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
You too. So if you have a question, you are welcome to call in. It's 877-876-5227 or 888-815-9756. Tonight, we had a wonderful program with Robert Grace, who happens to be one of my instructors at the Arizona Ballroom, and he is a very talented young man. He's only 20, and he's got a brilliant career ahead of him in the dance field, but also I feel like he does more of a coaching, and he really opens your eyes to what you're doing to yourself and by yourself and with others and the whole connection deal. So he is a very positive force, and I do think the fact he is an indigo, it shows that the indigos might have a lot of really raw energy that needs focus, but they are finding that focus, and that is a beautiful thing. Speaking from being a indigo, it did take me a while to find some focus, and I still always consider myself a dabbler, because I dabble in something, learn it good enough to get by, and then I move on to something else because I start getting bored. And that is the very much the indigo energy. So we really do have a lot of changing times. I also want to just suggest and make sure you guys understand that if you're feeling a little sick, there is a lot of stuff going on. But remember, with illness, you're doing purification and detoxing. And when you do that, you truly do need to drink a little more water than you normally do, because it's flushing out your system. And it also does help with making sure you don't get dehydrated during the cold and flu season. So if you can do that and cut back on anything that has caffeine, which actually can take some moisture out of you, water really does, it is the best drink for anyone. So if you are going through a lot of changes, if you're losing a job, if you're losing a relationship, if you're feeling like you're losing your mind, you're really not. You really are evolving, and some of your fears are just coming to the surface. You really have to make sure that you do some kind of purification soon. The liver just really collects everything, and it needs our help every once in a while. So as my guest a couple weeks ago suggested, Roger is a wonderful writer. He is also suggest drinking grape juice, and I have been drinking some grape juice and also some of the cider vinegar in the grape juice, and I know it sounds awful, but actually it's not that bad. And I really do feel better. I am having more focus, and I'm having more energy. And I just drink a little glass every day, and it does make a huge difference. So I want to thank everyone who listens to the show. There is a possibility of me changing to Friday nights, and I'd like to get your feedback if you want me on Friday nights an hour earlier. So instead of being at 9 o'clock on Thursdays, it would be 8 o'clock on Friday. There's an opening that's coming up, and I'm considering moving. So if you have a yay or a nay on that, please do write me at jen@jenniferhillman.com. Or you can even go ahead and write me through BBS Radio. They always make sure I get my messages. So either way, I would like to know if you really would mind if we switch days. So it would just be a little different, and it would expand the audience, which is always a good thing to do. So with that said, I'm going to go ahead. We have 2 minutes left in the show, so I'm going to go ahead and just end the show a little bit early. So with that, with each breath of air, I truly hope you gain new insights and inspirations. This is Jennifer Hellman wishing you many blessings and a very good night. Thank you.